I'm so very thankful to be here. I'm so thankful for our Lord. You know, this, I was thinking there a minute ago about this saying that the reason for the season is Jesus. And I really am personally troubled that he's not lifted up near enough all the time. All the time, not just this holiday. And so I would like to preach a little bit about him, if I could. Wasn't it exciting to hear Brother Ray talk about our King? It was an awesome time. He really is the King, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he cannot be exalted too much. And we've got to be very cautious and nervous even in our heart to let things distract us from him. Because if you're born again, you should have praise in your heart continually to him for who he is and for what he's done, and as your Lord and as your Savior. I got to praying and thanking him and praising him a minute ago just before I left for church, and just got absolutely excited. And we need that on a moment-by-moment basis. Really, he ought not be off of our mind, out of our heart. We ought not even get so busy and caught up in secular things, business, good things, things that got to go on, that we don't have him in our mind and thinking on him and worshiping him and praising him. And so if you'd indulge me tonight, I want to remind you of some things, if we could. And for a text, I'd like to go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7. It's very familiar to you, and I hope that a lot I say tonight will be familiar to you, but to just remind you, and that we might come to the place of worshiping our Lord, especially at this time, but all the time. If you'd stand reverencing God's word, we'll read these two verses and pray. I'll do my best to preach. God says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I'd like for us to just think about how special it is that God the Son would come to earth. It's an absolute enormous thing. So pray with me. Father, we need you so bad. We're so very thankful. And Spirit of God, we want to welcome you here tonight. I pray that you'll meet with us. I pray that the Word of God will have power in our hearts and minds. I pray that you'd call us to the area of repentance for not worshiping you and dedicating our lives to you daily and moment by moment the way we should. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll be lifted up here tonight. I want to thank you with all my heart for what you've done for me. And I want to pray that you'd receive our praise tonight. I ask you to open our hearts and minds about all you've done for us. We won't exhaust that tonight. We'll just scratch the surface. But if you would, please help us to understand more and to love you all the more. And if there's one here tonight that doesn't know you, I'd pray that and would come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. For you've done so much for them too. So please, Lord, bless. Spirit of God, I pray your word will come forth now with power. I've already asked you to fill me and to use me. Please, Lord, speak to us. I just want to say what you want said. It's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. You know, at this time of Christmas, I did some reading today, and I read where The word Christmas didn't come on all at once. The Catholics called it Christ Mass. And then the Dutch come up with the word Christmas. All it was centered around a pagan holiday. And we've got so much today that's centered around in Christmas time that's not a God. The commercialization of Christmas just eats me up. I just cannot hardly stand it. And there's nothing wrong with giving gifts to one's family. There's nothing wrong ever for us showing our love one to another. But there is something wrong with going in debt and all that stuff and all the comings on that goes. The merchandise of Jesus is not right. And so that's not really my message, but my thought here is that there's a lot going on during this time that's not about Jesus. I want to tell you tonight that this time is not about you, except that you need to worship Him, that you need to be loving on Him. You need to be very thankful. This time really is, and every day really is, to be all about Jesus Christ. My life is to be about Jesus Christ. And so I remember being young and just going through the catalog back then and deciding what I wanted and making a list and all that stuff. And it was about me. And that's not what this is about. That's not what we as believers have Christmas for. And so it's a blessing to see some things. So there's nothing wrong with getting with family and traveling to be with family. There's nothing wrong with sharing gifts with a family. There's nothing wrong with picking out on Christmas, food-wise. But there is something wrong with him just having a portion of that time. There's a big thing wrong with that. And I want us to understand this. I want us to understand that some people don't even believe Jesus was on the scene before his birth. Some people believe, the Jehovah Witnesses, that he was God's first creation. Islams think that he's just a man that was a prophet of God, and he died just like all other men. But let me tell you something. Jesus is eternal. Jesus was before it was anything. And the fact that we want to look to here, to where he comes here for me and for you. And I think it's an awesome thing. Notice that in our text it calls some of his names. And he's wonderful, a counselor. But notice the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A lot of people do not believe that Jesus is God, and he is. They do not believe. They do not believe he's everlasting, and he is. And we need to understand this. I want us to look at John, if we could, chapter 1 and verse 1. You know this verse. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I want to call your attention to a little three-letter word here, was. And don't run over the was. In the beginning was. That's past tense, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And the Word was with God. He was in the beginning. Before the beginning, he was. He's eternal. He's the Almighty God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Was in the beginning. Was. He didn't begin with creation. He is the Creator. There was not anything made, that the next verse says, without him. And so all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So this thing that we know in Jesus Christ, it was even before creation. It was before the world existed. He was all of this. And the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. It already has happened for us and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If we take the brackets out of that, it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Boy, that's a great description of our precious, wonderful Lord and Savior. Now listen, He is so real. Religion messes it up. He is absolutely real now. And He lives in me. His Spirit lives in me. And it's a wonderful thing to know Him and to know that He didn't just come on the scene when He was conceived in Mary's womb. I think when you think about it, that it'll really be something special for you to know from where He came from to be here. It's an awesome thing. I want to read some scripture to you. Malachi chapter 5 and verse 2 says this. Tells us about where He's to be born. But thou, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel. Now listen, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. His going forth has been from old, from everlasting. So He has no beginning. He has no end. And you can take that and just let it run in one ear and out the other. But if you'd meditate on it a little bit, it means He's some kind of big over you and over me. He is some kind of great over you and over me. I have something from Him that's called everlasting life, but it's because of Him and through Him and in Him, and it's because that's what He has. And so it's when we think about it, He's going to get very big in your heart now. He's a blessing. Man, it's awesome. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, listen what it says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, not man, made of woman, made under the law. The fullness of time was come. God sent His Son. The fullness of time, that's talking about, I mean, when there was no time, and then God started time, and then all this time, just according to the precious, perfect will of God, it was time for Jesus to come. It wasn't something that God said, oh, the world's in turmoil, all man is sin. It's all foreknown by God. It's in this time of God is what it's saying. And all of this is for me and for you. It's an awesome thing that He's talking about here. This Jesus Christ, my Lord, coming. It says in verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. Glory. And you want blessing. You want Jesus. You want fullness. You want Jesus. I may say it more than once, but this Christmas, this season, this time of worship, it's not about a baby. A little innocent baby. He was innocent, but he was a baby. But it's about Jesus, the eternal Lord and Savior, God the Son. And buddy, listen, when we have Him, then we're heirs of God in Him. Now that's big. That's big. So He's always been. He's always been. And what a time it is. You remember Moses in the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3. Just read a few verses here. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian and led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Now listen, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Man, listen, I want you to know something. This angel is Jesus. The flame of fire is the glory of Jesus. This is a big deal. Now, it's real, and it's a wonderful thing. And so God is saying to him and dealing with him and showing himself to him, and Moses is there. He goes on to deal with Moses. Now, in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20, in the Mosaic covenant, the Lord's speaking here, and he says, behold, I will send an angel upon thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into a place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. Listen now, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. So we obey his voice. He's the one that can forgive sin, this angel. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then will I be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary to thy adversaries. This is before they're going into the promised land. And mine angel shall go before thee, Jesus, and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's a lot of ites. And I will cut them off. Jesus, he goes in with the people of God. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Jesus has always been. He shows himself in the Old Testament time and time again. He showed himself to Joshua. Joshua here, the Bible says he's at Jericho. And Joshua looks in Joshua 5 and verse 13. And he looks, and there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou with us or for our adversaries? Now Joshua's a fighter. He's ready to go. He's going to take the land. He's going to take it in the power of God. And he wants to know who this man is. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? It's the same Jesus that saved my soul. Now listen, they don't worship angels. The angel spoke to John in Revelation chapter 22, and John bore down to him and was going to worship him, and he said, get up, man, don't worship me. He said, listen, our Lord, my goodness Christ, our wonderful Lord, he is such a blessing. He has done so very much. Listen, he appeared before his birth. He's come for us, and he deserves our worship. Man, listen, Joshua knew what to do when he got in the presence of the Lord. He bowed down and worshiped him. Listen, it's time that as believers we bow ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, and we submit ourselves and we worship him with a pure heart, with all our heart, and we exalt him within ourselves. He's come, you see. He's come. Isaiah 7:14 says there, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He is God. He's with us. He's come. He was before anything was. And praise his wonderful name. He is our Redeemer. There's not a one of us here. I love you folks. Y'all are great people in my sight, but not one of us here is worthy to be saved. Not one of us here is worthy for Jesus Christ to leave heaven and come and be born of a virgin and come and die and pay for sin for us. Now, the reason he came was to die. The reason he was born was to die. And what a blessing that is. And I'm very thankful for that. He made himself to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Man, this Jesus, he's done so very much for you and so very much for me. And we need to praise him. If you know him, you need to be in your heart shouting it out. I wish I was a shouter. I'm a crier. But we need to get there with God. We need to get to this place to understand what he's done. You see, Jesus became full man. Now listen, these 79 years have paid a toll on me. I was looking at one of my pictures the other day when I was young, and I didn't even recognize me. I said, who is this guy that Paula's with? Yeah. But Jesus took on this flesh. When he walked, he got tired. He had feelings. Got to see him pass the little baby. That was just to prove his deity. Virgin can't conceive except for the Holy Ghost, except for God. I don't remember being a baby, infant. I don't remember in my mother's womb how dark it was. I guarantee you Jesus was very much God in the womb. He was very much God in the manger. He was very much God in that Herod couldn't kill him. You say, oh, it's just an accident. They went to Egypt. No, God told him to go. He was very much God. He was very much God before he was conceived. God left heaven and walked into Mary's womb and became an embryo. Stayed there for 9 months so I could be saved. He was prophesied. He did it to fulfill the word. It's not a little thing we're talking about. Christmas is not a little thing. The birth of Christ is not a little thing. It's monstrous. It is so big. Full man without sin. Full God 100% of the time. When he was a boy, they raised him up. Mary knew who he was. Joseph knew who he was. They were told who he was. Can you imagine being the parents of God? Blows my mind. They never had to get on to him. I wish Martha had been like that. God. Can you imagine God being an 8-year-old? Can you imagine God being like Elliot? Wow. He was God all the way through this thing. When he was sitting there talking to the scholars in the temple at 12, he was God. And they were amazed at his mindset, his knowledge of Scripture. Well, he wrote it. He had it written. He was God when he grew up and started preaching himself to be God. He's God all the way from before eternity started, before age started, all the way through. He was God when they they rebuked him. He was God when they scorned him. He was God when they crucified him. He was God when they mocked him to get off the cross. He was God when they wagged their heads at him. He was God when his body lay in the tomb. He's still alive. His body died. He didn't die. His flesh died. You see, he's eternal. He did some things while his body was in the grave. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying this almighty eternal God did a lot for me and for you to be born in a manger. He was God whenever he rose from the dead. He was God when he ascended back to heaven bodily and is now seated at the right hand of Father. Oh, my goodness. We got to understand 24/7, all day, the rest of our days, we need to be worshiping Jesus Christ, our God. We need to be praising him. We need to be submitting to him. We need to be faithful to him. If you're not faithful to him, you're not submitting to him, you're not going to have good worship of him. You got to love him back. And we got to enjoy being saved. I have trouble understanding the love that he could be in heaven and all the host of heaven, all the Old Testament saints that have gone on to heaven, all the angelic host, everything Revelation describes, all of them are worshiping Jesus. Everything for him is perfect. And he left that to enter into Mary's womb for you and for me. You explain that kind of love. You explain the kind of love that would leave that for this. You explain that kind of love. Man, I got to thinking today about how I used to think about things of this earth. I never will forget my first new car. That thing shined and was pretty. And the thing was in the shop within 2 or 3 months. But everything in heaven was perfect. And I thought these things were great. But these things aren't great. They're all going away. Everything we know on earth is temporal except Jesus. And he left all that for you and for me. Born of a virgin, crucified on Calvary's cross, rose from the dead, ascended back to heaven, and he's coming again because he is this King of Kings, because he is this eternal Lord God. And he is going, according to our text, set up his kingdom on this earth and rule and reign in perfection. And he left glory and came here to die for me and for you. Like I said earlier, he was born to die. He came to die. Oh, never will forget the birth of any one of our children. It was exciting and wonderful. They weren't born to do what Jesus had to go through. So he endured rejection. He endured suffering. He endured persecution. He endured sorrow. He endured death. He endured humiliation. All for me. All for you. All for the lost and dying of this world. Romans 17:5 says this, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world." And here's our word again, was. Before the world was. He's asking Father for his glory back. That's the his prayer, John 17. That's the Lord's prayer. Prayed for you there in that prayer. He has that glory now. It's His. He'll never relinquish it. Never, never, never again. When He comes again to this earth, not the rapture, oh, it'll be evident about His glory. We need to glorify Him now. The reason He came, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the reason for the birth of Christ. That's the reason for the death of Christ. That's a love reason. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Preacher years ago said, he held that soul as long as he could hold his breath. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, this eternal God that I'm talking about. God in the flesh. That if whosoever, Mark, Martis, or you would believe in Him, we should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the reason Jesus was born. That's the love gift of God. And we got to come to this place to receive Him as Lord and Savior and Master and the sovereign God of our person, and surrender to Him and just worship Him with all our heart. Man, you'll count your blessings and count them and count them and count them and count them. Listen, He has never done me wrong. He never will do me wrong. He is a loving, glorious, wonderful Savior. Praise His holy name. Listen, He deserves our praise. Many examples around His birth, they were worshiping Him, giving gifts to Him, as Brother Ray preached. Worshiping this Savior. And it seems like to me that we modern day Christians can just let this kind of go by. And we can get caught up in doing rather than worshiping. We can get caught up in things rather than the number one thing of all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a serious business this time. I believe with all my heart this time, this season, is a great time for just stopping and gathering our thoughts and gathering up our heart and recommitting ourselves to Him and loving on Him with every ounce of fiber in our being, glorifying Him within our own hearts and souls. In our heart, this eternal God, this eternal God is my God. He's my Lord, and I love Him. I love Him with all my heart. I have pushed back on Him before, and for that I've begged Him, forgive me. I don't want to do it ever again. But I want, and I want it for you. I want my worship to, so to speak, just explode or take off. I want a heart to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to get too busy for Jesus. I don't want to get too busy to love on Him. And to thank Him and to praise Him for what He's done for me. He's done for me that no other could do. He didn't deserve my sin. He didn't deserve to die in my place. But He did, and He was the only one that could. And I need to love Him with all my heart and love Him back. So, Christian, I want to call you tonight to consider Jesus, your Savior, and what He's done for you. It's more than I've talked about. Consider His eternalness. Consider His power. Consider His will. Consider His way. Consider His love. Consider Jesus. It just don't seem right that I get to go to heaven, but it is right because of Him. It is right because it's a gift when I believe. And I want great rewards. I believe to get these rewards, if I fall in love and I worship and I keep Him, Lord, eminent in my life, I believe it'll wind up making me the faithful servant that He wants me to be. And I will enjoy loving on Him. You need to spend some time with Him and love on Him. I had nothing to do with spending 9 months in my mother. I don't remember my birth. I don't remember the first three few years of my life. But He knows it all. He knew it all before it happened. And He endured it all for you and for me. And He deserves my whole heart worship. And He did it for every person. It's really not like the Calvinists say, it's for whosoever. And if you happen to be here tonight and you don't know this wonderful Lord that I've probably miserably described, He died for you, and He was born for you, and He lived for you, and He died for you, and He lived sinless for you, and He's coming again, and He wants to come for you. And if you're young or old and you understand that you're a sinner and your wages of your sin is death, but His gift is eternal life, you need to turn from sin and turn to Him with all your heart and believe that He died and rose again, paid for your sin, became sin for you, and will save. And if thou wilt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, a repentant, believing heart, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Christmas time is a time for folks to get saved. Wow, I tell you, I want to thank everybody that had anything to do with the program Sunday night. It was a blessing to my heart. It hurt my heart that several folks got up and left just as the second it was over. They didn't wait for the invitation. I don't know whether they thought it was over. I don't know what they thought. But I really was expecting somebody to get saved. That's what it's all about. Coming to Jesus. And when we come and get saved, worshiping Him. If you're here and you're not saved, I want to invite you to believe in Jesus and come. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. But most of us here I know are saved. Believe with all my heart. It's time we get down to serious business, thinking about what He's done for us and worshiping Him with all our heart. Not just on church meeting day, with all our heart. If you get this heart, there won't be anything you wouldn't be willing to do for Him. There won't be a thing. You're His. So I want to ask you to search your hearts. If you're lost, to come get saved. If you're saved, just how is your life of worship? See, our modern day has got worship is hooping and hollering and singing the same verse over and over 25 times or something. And That's a worship service. Worship is you getting your heart in touch with God, glorifying God in your heart, and be a thankful person and name some things that He's done for you. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's all stand, every head bowed, and every eye closed.